Good evening, everybody. Thank you again for staying with us here on Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And I know I'm excited about tonight's show. We've been booked with this gentleman for a couple of weeks now, and I've had some good feedback on him because he's getting attention all over the place. All the unions across the country are jumping on his new song, Union Man, and we're going to talk to him. I'm talking about Nate Venturelli, of course. I want to thank Gary and G4 Management, for setting all this up. We're going to get to Nate live in just a few minutes. We're going to play that song, Union Man, and he's got his guitar with him. So we're going to do some live performing as well. But right now, let's introduce you, as we often do, by letting the music do the talking. This is a new song recorded by Nate Venturelli. This is Chase My Beer. It's all about that evil woman in our lives that make us turn to the bottle.
It's been 5 months since she left me. Said I was a drunk and that we were never meant to be. Spent most of my days on a broken bar stool. I let the one get away and now I'm standing here like a fool. So I'll chase my bear with some whiskey. Chase my bear with some whiskey, and I don't give a damn as far as her eyes can see. Don't know how to deal with it. Bartender, leave the bottle and a couple of beers. About to kick it full throttle, and I'll chase my.
Sometimes you just got to go to the bar, sit on a broken bar stool, and reevaluate your life, especially when there's a woman involved. It seems like that is an ongoing theme in country music since day one. There's always a woman in the mix, and there's always a beer and a whiskey, and somewhere in there is a pickup truck, probably how the guy gets to the bar. My guest is Nate Venturelli. That was him, and that was one of his original tunes. Nate is from Northwest Indiana. He is live in the studio. We'll hear from him in just a minute with his guitar. He's going to play for us, but right now, Nate, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where exactly from the region are you?
I'm from St. John.
Okay.
But I live in DeMott now. Bought a house there in the summertime, and I went to school in Indiana, and then I moved to Illinois, and then back to Indiana.
Okay, so did you go to Lake Central?
Yep.
Okay.
class of 10, 2010.
They have a good arts program there.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, but.
All right. When did you decide that country music, or just music in general, was going to be your calling? When was it that the music bug bit?
About a little over 2 years ago now. You know, and I would always like sing in the car or whatever, and play guitar on and off. I started playing guitar when I was about 25, I would say 24, 25.
Okay.
And kind of messed around with it. And then a little over two years ago, I played an open mic, and then I played two songs with Nicole Jamros.
Okay.
From Nashville Star.
Nashville Star, yeah.
And then played a benefit a week after that, or a couple days after that, for Schererville Police Department.
Okay.
And then I was booked pretty much every weekend up until COVID, you know.
Wow. Yeah. So why such a latecomer? What brought you to the party at last after dabbling for a few years?
My buddy Brandon said, you should maybe try an open mic, and I tried it, and people liked it, and we kept hearing from bars and messages from them, and I don't know, just all because of him. And my sister always said, you should try something, and try out for The Voice or American Idol or something. And,
mm-hmm.
I finally just said, I always loved it, and I wanted to do it. I just scared. I know I wouldn't even play for people at my house. I'd have to turn around or something like that.
Wow. Well, you certainly have come a long way in a short time.
Thank you.
So when you first started playing, where was the open mic at?
Where was this at? I think it was in Lowell at, Town Pub.
Okay, right, I know where two. That's at.
I think that was it. I played one song, and then...
Do you remember what the song was?
Luke Combs' Hurricane, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go out to an open mic. Your buddy prompts you to come out and do this. You get the one song. What were your feelings like when you sat up there and you looked at the crowd? You couldn't turn your back on them like you did at home.
Well...
What was that moment like, with that oh my gosh, I'm here, now what do I do moment?
Well, I don't remember much of it, so I had a lot to drink that night.
Okay.
And that kind of calmed my nerves, and really, over the next 6 months, I had to pregame a little bit before I started playing, and just liquid courage, and then I got kind of used to playing in front of people, and didn't take so much, you know.
All right. So what was the situation where you teamed up with Nicole to jam with her, Nicole Jamros?
Well, my buddy Jeff Rizel.
Oh, I know Jeff.
Yeah, I came to he's a realtor. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Jeff. And we were at a bar together, Goodfellas in Cedar Lake, and Nicole was playing. I wanted to see her play live, and Jeff talked to her. Hey, man, or hey, can you get him up to do a song or two? And I played, the first song I played was Simple Man, okay. Skinner, and then I played
acoustic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I played her guitar. I think she had a Gibson Songbird, I think it was, and then that she won from the show.
Mm-hmm.
I played that. Played the songs with her, and then you know what? That benefit, I played with her band.
Okay. Yeah. And Jeff usually sponsors that benefit.
Yep. Yep.
That's one of the things he does since leaving Northwoods. But so you're out there, you're playing, weekends come, weekends go, bars are clamoring for you. When did you find time to start writing your own songs? When did that happen?
I started writing probably like 3 or 4 months after I started playing live shows. And I would get home from work and have a few beers, and then, you know, sit down and think of a chorus, you know. And I actually, one of the songs on the EP is called She Was Right.
Okay.
And I was strumming, playing four chords, or three chords, or I don't remember what it was. And came up with the chorus, and then I started writing the verses, and I was pretty much done with the song in about a week. And then, that's about when I started, about 3 months after, and then it came out with, and then I wrote Chase My Beer, and...
Which is the song we just heard.
Yep, I wrote...
So that was one of the first songs you wrote?
Yeah, the second song I wrote, yep. And that was, I would say about a year and a half ago, and then I wrote Union Man. Probably a little over a year ago, and I never really recorded it until mm-hmm. Gary helped me out and then released it like close to 2 months ago now, and then I wrote this new one. It took me about a month to write, and when I play it today, this will be the first time ever playing it for anybody and actually playing the whole song through, you know. Mm-hmm. So I might hiccup maybe once.
Hey, that's okay. That's what makes it special. So the songwriting process, is there a formula. Is there a format or a style that you go? Do you write the words first?
So what I do, I play a chord progression and then I'll kind of hum along to it with the chorus first. I'll sing the chorus, and then once I get that down, I know how to describe the choruses. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back to the, you know, second or first verse. It's never really from start, you know, top to bottom.
Right.
Or it's never written like that. I have to hear something to actually sing along to it, you know.
All right.
So.
What inspires you? Who is the she that was right?
You know, over the years, you know, you kind of screw up, mm-hmm. and you kind of look back at it. You know, it's not really targeted as one female, but it was over the years of dating, you know, and I kind of screwed up a lot over the years. I had a lot to learn, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a young kid, and the one I have now, her name's Megan, and we've been going strong for about a year and a half now, and she's really, you know, changed my life. So,
how has she impacted you as far as your career and your goal to perform?
You know, it's a goal to make her proud of it. And is
she musical at all?
Not really. She likes country music, and that's really all.
Well, that's a good thing.
Care about, yeah. Otherwise, I don't know how well it would work out. You know.
Did you guys meet at a show?
The first time we met was at one of my shows. I played at Bullpen in Cherryville.
Okay.
Right off of 30.
Wow.
So, yeah, she came up in the middle of my set.
Let's play a song. What do you want to play? You want to play the new one, or you want to play something to warm up?
You know, I'll play some Riley Green, Wish Grandpa's Never Died.
Okay. I don't know. Riley, an influence on you?
Oh, yeah, big time. He's like that older sound, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what kind of leaning towards, you know. So,
All right, you're listening to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio, and the next voice you're hearing is Nate Venturelli.
Thank you.
These girls you love never gave back diamond rings. Shivered porch had a swing. These kids still learn to say sir and ma'am, how to shake a hand. Shivered state had a Birmingham. Wish everybody knew all the words to mama tried. Wish Monday mornings feel just like Friday nights. And now with shipping cars and truck beds, every road was named Copperhead. And coolers never run out of cold Bud Light. And I wish high school home teams never lost. And back road drinking kids never got caught. I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. I wish honky-tonks didn't have no closing time. And I wish grandpas never died. I wish Sundays on a creek bank would never end. Wish I could learn to drive again. It's the first time 17, she was my everything. Kiss in a Chevrolet could happen every day. Wish everybody overseas was gonna make it home.
Where's country music still got played on country radio? And now it's even cars and truck beds. Every road was named Copperhead. And coolers never run out, cold Bud Light. And now it's high school home teams never lost. Back road drinking kids never got caught. I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. I wish honky tonks didn't have no clothes in town. And I wish grandpas never died. I wish good dogs never got grand old. I wish farms never got sold. And now it's even cars and truck beds. Every road was named Copperhead. And coolers never run out, cold Bud Light. And I wish high school home teams never lost. And back road drinking kids never got caught. I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. I wish honky tonks didn't have no clothes in town. And now his grandpas never die. His grandpas never die. Thank you.
All right. All right, that is Riley?
Riley Green.
Yeah. Riley Green. And aside from Riley, who are some of the artists that influenced you?
I would say Brooks and Dunn from the 90s.
Okay.
You know, a lot of 90s country. Luke Combs, of course. He's a great writer and great performer. That older sound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to bring it back, and that's going to, I'm kind of influencing off that. And, Alan Jackson, George Strait.
Okay. What about Steve Earle?
Not really.
No?
No.
I can hear some of, you know, he's very topical. He always sings about things that come from the heart and matter. And in the two songs that I've got of yours, I feel that. And you referenced Copperhead Road in that last song from Riley, and that made me think of Steve.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
that's who he reminds me a little of.
Well, thank you. But yeah, my writing, I just like to write about mm-hmm. everyday life, and people can relate to my kind of life, you know. I'm not just writing to write. I want people to relate to the songs, and I hope I have, you know. Union Man is really,
well, that certainly has ignited a spark with a lot of people.
Yeah, I just want it relatable, and it's working out pretty well. So
now, Union Man is the new single, I guess you would say, because I don't even know if singles exist anymore. But it's the song you're working on online, right, on the internet and social media, Spotify and Amazon and all those things.
Yeah, it's Union Man. Yep, it's a single.
So that song, you yourself are a Union Man. You're a union welder, correct?
Yes.
So you have been a blue-collar worker for a long time now, so you understand what you're singing about.
Yeah, yeah.
The hard work, you're referencing, you know, the working the coke plants and in this song that we're going to play here in a minute, it's about your grandfather, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you talk about him being your hero.
Yeah.
And it looks like you've kind of followed in his footsteps. So tell us about your grandfather and why he was such an important man in your life.
So when I was growing up, I didn't, I didn't really have a father figure in the early part of my life. And when I was young, he took me and my mother in and my two sisters. He just always did everything for my mother and his kids. And I was, he died when I was real young, but his story lived on through, you know, my uncles, my mom,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother. And the stories I've heard, it's just unbelievable. Like, in the union, anybody that needed something, no matter what it was, he would find an answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always help anyone in need and never discriminated against anyone, no matter what their story was, never judged anybody. And
now, was he from here? Did he work locally?
Yeah, he worked in Riverdale, okay. Illinois. I'm familiar with
Riverdale, yeah.
He was, he worked, in and out of different, units in the mill when he was younger, but eventually he was a truck driver for the mill and the union president. And it just, it kind of influenced the song because, and we're back to, he was just a great man. And everybody I've talked to over the years, and I've even worked in a mill where they knew him,
mm-hmm.
and years ago. And they always, it was probably about five guys I ran into when I was working myself and nothing but great things, man. They all pretty much said the same thing. He would do anything for you,
So obviously he impacted you to write this song. How did he impact you to do what you do for a living? Was him being a union man what brought you to the union and made you appreciate the value of hard work?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And I always knew he was the president because my mom had a plaque of, him as union president when he got elected. She had the plaque on our wall,
mm-hmm.
growing up, and knowing that, and my uncles, they're both pipe fitters, union pipe fitters, and they told me the same stories about him over the years and how he was a huge union guy and helped everybody in the union and always wanted a better contract every 3 to 5 years or whatever it was. And I, hearing that growing up, I never really wanted to go to college, and I just figured
learn a trade.
Yeah, it's a great living. So, and it's been really great to me over the last 10 years. So
this song that we're about to play is inspired by your grandfather. When and how did this moment, when your past and your love of this man merge with your love of music, how did this song happen to just come about? It wasn't your first song. So what made you write this song?
So I was sitting down on my recliner, and I had a picture of him.
Is that the picture on your Facebook page?
No, that's something my mother sent me.
Okay, that's him, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's my
grandfather. So if you go to Nate's Facebook page, facebook.com, Nate Venturelli, LL, you'll see his grandfather looking back at you.
Yeah, that was him in one of the units in the mill. And back to the story where I wrote it is I had a picture of him and I when I was real little, and he's laying back in his chair, and he's got his Bears shirt on, and I had my Bears stuff on. I don't know if it was a onesie or something. And yeah, the Bears. And, I was laying on his lap, and he was passed out, and I was just thinking, What was his life like? I've heard stories, but I never knew,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of came up with the chorus and from what I've been told over the years and thought of another verse or the first verse. And then I thought of the third verse and then the last chorus and then jump back to the second verse. And that's how I wrote it. It was significant because, I've been United Steelworker for, it'll be 5 years in April. So, okay. Yeah.
And you're from a family of union men.
Oh, yeah.
Your uncles and everything?
Okay. Yeah, even my mom. She's
really?
Yeah, she was, she worked security at the mill. I don't know if they were union then. And then she's a police officer now, so FOP is
in
the union.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to play that song. And the line that I really like. Well, I like all of them, but the one that really impacts me and gives me kind of a chill is when you say how he built the life with his hands,
yeah.
His bare hands. And you think back in the day, I was listening to my dad's stories and all these different things. Those were men's men. Those were guys, you know, we have it a little bit soft now. You know, I got to say, I like to think I'm macho, but no, I'm soft compared to the older guys that, we owe our debts to in many ways. So that song kind of sums that up, and I think you nailed it, and I can understand why the unions are jumping on this and supporting it. And we're going to talk about that aspect of the song after we listen. So pay attention, listeners. This is Union Man from my guest, Nate Venturelli. This is the new single.
Take care of his mother, welding right in his right hand, and a marberette in the other. Became a brother of the working class. He didn't have time for school, 'cause a kid don't grow up so fast. But he knew what he had to do. And Papa was a union man. He built a life with his bare hands. Saw the good in everyone. He'd even give you the shirt off his back. 8 days a week at Acme Steel. Backbreaking hours in the coal plant. There ain't a thing that he couldn't fix, 'cause he never said the words I can't. And Papa was a union man. And Papa was a union man. Years later passed, and now he's a journeyman. Class of 55, same year he met the love of his life. 4 kids later with a set of twins, they became his everything. Work hard or love harder, 'cause that's all you're gonna ever need. Papa was a union man. He built a life with his bare hands. Saw the good in everyone. He'd even give you the shirt off his back. 8 days a week at Acme Steel. Backbreaking hours in the coal plant. There ain't a thing that he couldn't fix, 'cause he never said the words I can. And Papa was a union man. Why did he have to go? I just hope I'm half the man. He's my hero. Papa was a union man. He built a life with his bare hands. Saw the good in everyone. He even gave you the shirt on his back.
Papa was a union man, and I know we have a lot of union folks that are in Northwest Indiana, in the steel yards, and in the pipe fitting and the electrical unions, and it's like everything has a union practically today to keep people safe and work standards up. But it wasn't always that way, and a lot of the older union guys can tell you some of the horror stories that there used to be. Like I said, they were men's men, and they fought and made things better for everybody that came along, like Nate and I and Jose here. Let's talk about that song. You recorded it. You sat down. You had the picture of your grandfather. You wrote the words and the choruses and the things. You put it together. And then where did you go with it? Did you take it? You know, you're working with Gary Flanagan and G4 Management. Did you take it to Gary first? Did you take it to your uncles first? I mean, who did you play it for? When did you know it was going to be a good song?
I just played it live, really.
Okay.
Until I was in the studio. You know, I played it maybe close to 6 months before we even recorded anything for maybe a little less. But before I really recorded it, I played it live for months, you know. And people loved it, and especially in Chicago or, you know, Illinois, in the Chicago suburbs, people related to it. And, mm-hmm. and
I think we all know somebody that has worked in the unions.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they
around, especially around here.
Yeah, you drive the, you see the cars, and they're covered with like dust and rust and all the powder and things. Interesting stuff. So the song got recorded. We're going to talk about the band in just a moment and the recording. But let's just skip ahead. The song is done, and you've recorded this incredible version that we just heard. All of a sudden, I'm getting calls from Gary saying, there's unions that are picking up on this song. How did they hear it? How did it get out there? And what kind of feedback have you gotten?
So I sent the video to United Steelworkers, the International in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I messaged them on Facebook, said, hey, if you could, just give this a listen. I'd really appreciate it. And I told them who my grandfather was. And they responded, and they said, you know, we have to check with our media to, you know, to make sure we could post something like this. And we'd love to, you know, give you a shout-out for this song. And the vice president of the International knew my grandfather pretty well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a small world. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that, and then, what was it? Let's see. They posted it on their regular website, on just their regular website, and then they posted it on Facebook. And then, there was a lot of likes, a lot of shares on that page, and people really related to it. And then I had a few podcasters, Steelworker podcasts, contact me, and I did one of them from Iowa, maybe 2 weeks ago. And then the Boilermaker International Union contacted me and said, hey, you know, we're going to post this on our page. We'll share it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, awesome, man. I really appreciate it. And then, an ironworker local in Nashville, the Ironworker
so
Nashville.
So they picked up on it.
They shared it on their Facebook page. And then there was a couple other ones in you know, and I posted it on groups like union pages and Steelworkers Unite or union groups of Facebook and whatever I could really share it to. And
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of feedback on that and a lot of downloads for the songs. And the player on YouTube is up to 6,000 now. So
wow.
That's a video I would share to these pages and the feedback's been great.
Is it a live video of you performing it?
No, it's just the album cover.
Okay.
It's technically YouTube Music.
Okay.
And that's just one of many platforms. But
and you can find that on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And yep. also your website. Correct?
On my website, yep. You can find all that.
And that's NateVenturelli.com. And also under his name on Facebook, you can see the video. It's also being heard now, according to my notes here from Gary, because Gary's all about notes, on Napster, YouTube, Music, Amazon, Pandora, Tidal, iTunes, iHeart, and pretty much every other global distributor out there.
Yeah, Spotify, everything, man.
So just type in Union Man, and it'll come up?
Or Nate Venturelli, and vice versa.
Okay. So let's talk about the recording. Where was this done? The sound is very good on this recording. Production's very good. Where was it done? And I know you've got some pretty heavy hitters playing with you on this. Are they your official band now?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so live shows, you've got these guys too.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, we've got Johnny Horvath on drums, Chuck Comence on bass, Rick Titt on guitar, Nelson Wynn, one of the best pedal steel players I've ever heard from the region or anywhere else. He is on there. Chris Grove, former keyboardist with Eddie Money's band. You got some heavy hitters, like I said.
And they're awesome, man. I couldn't ask for anything else.
What's it like going in, and where did you record? It says G4 Studios, which I don't know what that is. Is that one of Gary's own things?
Yeah, he's got his own cabin, and there's a studio in the basement, and he has a program. I'm not really sure how any of it works.
Okay.
I'm all new to this, so I have no idea.
You just go there and start singing.
Singing and playing, man. That's it.
So what was it like working with these guys? How many songs did you record? Did you record all at once?
No, so we did, what was the first one? I can't remember. It was kind of flip-flop between Chase My Beer and Union Man. And, you know, after that, we laid down a rough track a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, with one of the new songs, She Was Right. And then tomorrow we're laying down the vocals for They Don't Make Them Like Her Anymore.
Which is the new one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many songs do you have in the can right now?
Four. Four?
Four?
Yep.
What's the goal as far as the album and things? Is there a set date or a target date that you guys are looking at?
So this EP, four song, should be, you know, end of spring, early summer. Should be done, four song EP. And then if I have songs by, I'm hoping to write, you know, four more to make it an album at the end of the year.
Okay.
It's just hard to, you know, find a lot of time because I work.
Because you're working.
Yeah.
You're a union man. So what kind of feedback did you get on these pages? I mean, from the actual workers out there and the other presidents and stuff. I mean, it has to be pretty cool to get accolades from your coworkers on something that's not related to work, really. I mean, it's your other venture that, if succeeding, may take you away from the union.
Yeah, it's this feedback is, you know, I get people from all over the country, even Canada. There's a couple of unions in Canada that have shared it on their page, and they're like, man, really give this guy a listen, and the song is a great message, and that was shared in Canada. And then we've had people from Georgia, Texas, California, New York,
mm-hmm.
pretty much a lot of the states, a lot of the major cities around the country. And they're saying, shout out, you have all of our support. Hopefully you can play here sometime. And a lot of people have said to me, you know, we don't really listen to country, but really we really like this song, and we can listen to it on repeat. I've heard from some of these people. And you know, 40, 50-year union members have contacted me by message and said, really, you got something special with this song, and never quit, you know, and it's really inspired me to keep going on and writing songs like this, you know.
So what has the reaction been to, have you even tried to go to radio with it?
You know, I messaged Indiana 105, and I messaged 99.5,
mm-hmm.
and I really didn't get a response yet, And I understand, you know, they have to play certain songs on the radios, and I don't know if a song like this would be something they would play. You know, I don't know.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about what we're trying to do here, is that we understand that every artist that has hits, George Strait at some point started out as a local guy somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody had to play that record first. And when you have a strong song like Union Man, and someone that can perform it as well as you have with this band in studio, it deserves airplay. I mean, as bottom line, it deserves airplay. And if any other radio people are listening, jump on this. Help get this young man moving. And you'll find you'll have a lot of listeners in the union, because everyone's streaming these days. So everybody will be tuned in to your station. There you go. But so what's going on next as far as when we get through COVID? The album, let's say, is it a full album or an EP looking at?
It's an EP.
An EP?
Four song, yep.
So let's say the EP is out and you're ready to start performing. Have you guys got a template yet on what the goal is? Are you looking to pick up tours with somebody? Are you looking to just go back to the clubs again?
You know, we have just local pretty much now, and we'll try to get down to Nashville eventually, but we'd like to play, you know, just the bigger venues, I would say, is our goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing against any dive bars, because I love dive bars, you know.
But they got good whiskey and broken stools.
They do, man. And it's my kind of people, man. But we would like to get the song out a little more and play in the bigger venues, like, you know, Bub City, maybe Joe's Bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big goal of ours. You know, Scooters is another big venue. I've actually played that with Jerrica. I opened for her there, and I just want a crowd, you know,
right.
A big crowd to hear the song. So.
And Jerrica Paliga, who has been on this program in the past, also works with G4. She is on a hiatus right now and dealing with some wonderful personal things. So you have kind of adopted her band, and they've adopted you. So
yeah.
The guys we mentioned, most of them are in her band.
Yeah, all of them were pretty much. I think, it's been a great transition, and I couldn't have asked for a better band, man. And Gary's been awesome. And
How did you tie in with Gary? You're a young kid, 2 years in the business, a handful of songs, played a few open mics, and all of a sudden you got Gary, who's been in the business 30, 40 years now. I remember him when I was starting out. And now he's out there and he's helping you out. So how did that connection?
Well, Jerrica, I was friends with her on Facebook. And, I think I can't really pinpoint when or how we met, but the first time I ever played with Jerrica, I played Beautiful Crazy by Luke Combs, and she begged, or I was friends with her on Facebook, and we messaged each other back and forth sometimes, you know, hey, can I open for you, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got her Snapchat, and then she Snapchat messaged me and said, hey, I'd really like you to play Beautiful Crazy at the set. And what I can remember, I think that was the first time I ever played or ever really talked to Gary for more than 5 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would see him at shows, because I would show up to her shows in Chicago, and I'd say, hey, Gary, what's going on? And we friended each other on Facebook, but it really wasn't more than five-minute conversations. And it's ever since then, he's really helped every way he could. So it's been awesome.
Great. You got Nelson Wynn of Hazard County Band. He is not with Jerrica, neither is Chris Grove, but they're sitting in any sessions. Do you think they're going to play some of the live shows too? Have you talked to him about it?
I think Gary has mentioned a little bit to him. And getting
you up with Hazard County would be great. Talk about seasoned players.
Yeah,
Double bill there. I hear that. I hear that happening, Gary. Double bill.
I'm down for whatever, man. Everybody knows that. And Nelson. I think Gary talks to Nelson and the keyboard and the fiddle player, and they, mm-hmm. you know, can you play live if we get something, you know, opening for a national act or. And I think they agreed to it, so okay. Be great, man.
You have opened for some national acts. Yeah. We were talking off air. Jason Michael Carroll, I had done a couple shows working with him. Austin Burke, you're going to be opening for Mitchell Tenpenny coming up in May. What's it like to work with some of these bigger names, and what have you learned from the experience? I mean, have you picked up little nuggets of knowledge watching them or talking to them? Or have you learned what not to do by watching them?
Well, Jason, you know, I've learned, you know, you're just like me, mm-hmm. just trying to make people relate to songs and make a living out of it. And they're down to earth. Everyone the national acts that I've opened for just seem down to earth. And I don't know about Mitchell yet, but I'm sure he'll be a great guy too. And Jason, you know, we actually we had a few drinks at the show when we played, and then stayed a little after and drank, and then went to the bar afterwards and drank. So yeah, we were hanging out, man. That was the first time we played together, and the second time at Lake County. He's a great artist, and just like me, and you could talk to him.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I remember that about him.
Very down to earth. And
you've played a lot of big rooms, name rooms anyway. Firewater Saloon in Chicago.
Yep.
You've played at County Line Orchard, beautiful yep. venue. You've played a lot of festivals, and at The Room in Highland, another big concert facility. And you've also played at the Art Theater in Hobart.
Yeah.
So when you play the bigger rooms, how do you adjust your show, or do you adjust your show from when you play to 20 people in a tiny bar?
Never. It's always always the same, man.
What you are is what you are.
Yep.
What you get. Okay. Speaking of which, we got about 10 minutes left. Let's play that new song, and then we'll talk a little bit more and give a few more shout-outs and figure out where you're going from here. So what are Already. We going to do here?
This one's called Don't Make Them Like Her Anymore. Like I said, I might screw up a little bit, but it's the first time I ever played through the whole song, so... Here we go.
All right.
All Heard daddy working on the old half ton. He said, son, would you give me a hand? So I jumped in the cab and gave her some gas and cranked up the Johnny Cash. Then I saw a picture up on the dash. I said, Dad, who's that? He turned back and laughed, said, have a seat and I'll tell you who we used to be. When your mom and me were 17, living wild and running free. Not a care in the world, cause I had my dream sitting right in the passenger seat. She believed in me when no one else would, and I never really understood. So if you ever find someone like that, never let it go, cause they don't make them like her anymore. They don't make them like her anymore. Granddaddy didn't like me much, hated my hair and my beat up truck. My mama saw the best in me, always pushed me into the man I wanted to be. Finally got a job down at the mill, did more than pay the bills. So then I got down on one knee and said, baby, will you please marry me? When your mom and me were 17, living wild and running free. Not a care in the world, cause I had my dream sitting right in the passenger seat. She believed in me when no one else would, and I never really understood. So if you ever find someone like that, never let it go, cause they don't make them like her anymore. They don't make them like her anymore. Ain't much has changed these days. Wouldn't have it any other way. Mama gave me four beautiful boys, and I don't think that I'll ever get sick of the noise. Take this truck out sometimes and it feels just like the first ride. When your mom and me were 17, living wild and running free. Not a care in the world, cause I had my dream sitting right in the passenger seat. She believed in me when no one else would, and I never really understood. So if you ever find someone like that, never let it go, cause they don't make them like her anymore. They don't make them like her anymore.
Nate Venturelli live on Lakeshore, Midwest Beat program, and a new one. Don't make them like her anymore. I didn't hear any hiccups in there.
I was kind of scared, man, the whole time.
You didn't make any mistakes, did you?
A little bit.
Did you?
I can.
Nothing
only...
I would know.
No, nothing they would know, man.
All right. Nate has been my guest tonight, and watch for his single, Union Man, all over the place. Look it up online. Go to Facebook. Go to all those different services or global distributors or music shops or whatever you want to call them online, Amazon's, Pandora's, iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, and you'll find them. Type in Nate Venturelli, double L on Venturelli, and also Union Man. You can look it up that way. Gary Flanagan, thank you for setting things up. G4 Music Group is our wonderful folks that have set this up. Thanks to them. Let's close out. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, we got 5 minutes, Jose says. Let's talk about where you want to go from here. What is the dream? And before we do that, the underlying theme of what I've heard so far in your music is strong family ties.
Yeah.
You've spoken of your uncles, your grandfather, your mom, even your girlfriend. It seems that you are very family rooted.
Yeah.
Is that going to stay a constant in your music, you think? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Because you've got that bedrock foundation?
Yeah, it's completely, man. I grew up man, you always need your family. And
a lot of people don't have that, and that's what makes you so strong, I think.
Thank you. I enjoy being with my family and you know, hearing stories about it. And I always had support from everybody in my family, you know. And that's your biggest support is mm-hmm. your family, your brothers, your sisters, your dad, your ma, uncles, everything, you know. And you know, you wouldn't be the person you are without your family.
Are you from a musical family? Is anyone else in the family prone to doing this? Is this something in the DNA, or are you the rebel?
My sister sings. Jenna sings. She sang in the choir in high school. She's a good singer too. And my grandfather, I recently heard that he would like pick up a guitar or play the piano or something like that, or harmonica, and he would pick it up and play it by ear and never really had any lessons. He played too, and I didn't know that.
Okay, and you never had lessons, right?
No, I played off YouTube.
And, okay, you taught yourself.
Yeah. So, and then that's, you know, on my dad's side, his aunt was a professional singer, I think in the 50s or something, and she was in the Marines also, and she did all the entertainment shows, playing live music for them, and then after the Marines, she went on to travel, and she was a traveling artist. So.
Wow. Now, you served too, didn't you?
No, I did not.
You did not? Okay. This has been an interesting show, an interesting experience. As I mentioned prior to the show when you came in the studio, I remember seeing you 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, playing some different shows in the area, and I thought, this kid's pretty good. He's pretty good. But when I heard these new songs, like I said, you have found your voice. You have found your identity, I think.
Thank you.
You've grown up in a short time as a musician, and I really think you've got a lot of potential.
I appreciate you, man.
Obviously, I'm not alone in that. All these union guys jumping on board and you know, these great musicians that are happy to go in the studio with you, and Gary on board. So best of luck.
Thank you.
Definitely.
I appreciate everything, man.
Jose, we got a minute. Do we have time to play a little more of Union Man? Let's play that for those that might have tuned in late, track one, and leave you with this song. Listen to this. This is something from the heart, and this is something that we all, especially here in the Rust Belt, can relate to. This is Union Man, A Final Time, Nate Venturelli. Look for him online, Nate Venturelli on Facebook, nateventurelli.com, and look for him at upcoming shows, including February 27th at Buddy and Pals with the full band.
He had to take care of his mother, welding right in his right hand, and a marble red in the other. Became a brother of the working class. He didn't have time for school, 'cause a kid don't grow up so fast. But he knew what he had to do. Papa was a union man. He built a life with his bare hands. He saw the good in everyone. He'd even give you the shirt off his back. 8 days a week at Acme Steel. Backbreaking hours in the coal plant. There ain't a thing that he couldn't fix, 'cause he never said the words I can't. Papa was a union man. Papa was a union man. Years later passed, and now he's a journeyman. Class of 55, same year he met the love of his life. 4 kids later with a set of twins, they became his everything. Work hard or love hard, 'cause that's all you're gonna ever need. Papa was a union man. He built a life with his bare hands. Saw the good in everyone. He even gave you the shirt off his back. 8 days a week at Acme Steel. Backbreaking hours in the coal plant. There ain't a thing that he couldn't fix, 'cause he never said the words I can't. Papa was a union man. We'll be right back. old. I just hope I'm half the man is my hero.